You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
We have some other projects we want to talk about. Where do you want to start?
Let's switch it up. Let's talk about this Kate Renata album.
You want to go there?
Yeah, let's go from like really bad to really good.
Okay. The overall vibe for this. I actually have track notes, but we just talk overall vibe. Like the overall vibe, this is fantastic. I'm doing chores on the weekend, put on the background music.
Yep. This is also good. I'm getting ready to go out music, depending on where you're going.
Hmm.
Because you have to have different music for different, you know, you got to get in different headspaces. This is a really good going out to kick it, going to a lounge, me and like three of my boys, like, This is good. Or you have a platonic homegirl that you're cool with who may play as your wingman. That's a good one there. A lot of Coors Light commercials like that'll spawn from this. You know what I'm saying? Just a lot of like, it's a wild night. A lot of loose ties.
You gotta roll the sleeves up too.
Yeah, roll up the sleeves. Halfway untuck the shirt. You know, look like you had a crazy night. Slightly adjust the glasses, the frames. It's that type of music, but jokes aside, this project is really, really dope.
There are portions of it that I really, really like. Some of it I'm kind of like, all right, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing on here that's bad. Everything at the very least is, yeah, I could have this on the background. You know what else this would be great for? If you're trying to like, if you're in college, you're going back to school, whatever, you want to do some studying, just put this on in the background, get you in a nice little, or you're trying to write a paper.
See, I don't write the music. Rapper. I never did homework to music.
Oh.
Yeah, I've never been there. I need like complete silence because I have to hear myself think.
I used to, I'm pretty sure I wrote like most of my papers my senior year of college. I would wake up at like 1 a.m. So I'd go to bed at like 9, wake up like 4 hours later and put on the first NERD album. And then I would just start writing.
I ain't mad at that.
I wrote a lot of papers that way. And actually, like when my wife was going through grad school, she just listened to Donuts all the time.
Yeah, Donuts is a really good do stuff.
Yeah, but. And there's no knock against it. Like there's a long line of albums I like to listen to put on background music, like that Diddy Dirty Money album.
Yes, the mixtape as well.
Perfect for that.
Yep. And then, that's not slanderous at all. That's actually good. It's like, I think this is going to be a good summer album. Like this is what I was talking about with timing. The fact that this came out, I think like late April, early May, this album lasts at least until October.
Right. Especially, you know, a somewhat not totally brand new or unknown, but a fairly unknown, you know, sort of unknown for like, you know, mainstream artists. You put this out, you know, do the shows in the big cities and sort of slowly go off that and, you know, sort of let it do a slow burn. And who knows, maybe one of these catches on. There's definitely a couple tracks in here that I'm just like, yeah.
Which one stand out to you?
So I love Track Uno.
Track Uno's dope.
Vivid Dreams.
That is the one with...
River
Tiber.
After the Sid the Kid one.
Yeah.
And Light Spots.
Light Spots is stupid.
Like, if you're having people over... Like, just throw that on. Actually, you know what? If you're having, like, a barbecue, you could probably just throw this on.
Yeah. Light Spots is stupid.
Yeah.
I like the Craig David joint.
Craig David.
Craig David. Fill me in.
It's a cool track. Yeah. I like the beat more than I like... Craig's all right on it, but, like,
He's serviceable, but I just love the flow and feel of the record. Like, it's a good song.
The Little Dragon record is dope, too. Bullets.
Yeah.
Actually, I just really general like the last, like after Breakdance, because Breakdance Lessons all right, like it's cool, but like after that, to me, it really ramps up. It ends really strongly.
Now, is that Anderson Paak on Glowed Up?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that record too.
Yeah, he's kind of hit or miss with me. Like, did you listen to his album at some point?
Yeah, a couple times.
He's hit or miss, but I think this works. You know what portions of this remind me of? Like, actually, the outro to Glowed Up, just portions of this project in general. Like, in the mid-2000s, Madlib was kind of messing around with like, jazz, like, kind of jazz, but also, like, Brazilian music a little bit. Put out, like, a flood of work. Like, some of this kind of feels much in the same vein. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely got a lot of that vibe. But no, how you feel about the Fonte record?
It's all right.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's really, really okay. I like the Bad Bad Not Good record.
Yeah, I like that one. Even the Vic Mensa record, Drive Me Crazy, is not bad. I'm not big on Vic, but I like the outro.
Okay. I like Together. Together's cool.
It's cool. I'm not a big Gold Link fan.
I need to hear some more Gold Link. I'm not going to ask our listeners to tweet me stuff because they tweeted me stuff for Kalani and I still haven't listened to it. I had like three people like, yo, check out this and this and this from Kalani. They didn't like flood. They gave me like three or four songs. They told me what to start off with. Like, I feel like after 200 plus episodes, our fans know us.
Mm.
So they kind of know how to approach us. So they didn't even flood and say, you need to listen to everything, son. Kalani's the truth. They gave me like a good three or four songs. Like, thank you. I appreciate that. And never listen to it because I'm trash.
I like how you immediately sounded like the dude Charlie Murphy plays on Mad Real World.
I was just watching the Prince outtakes after Prince passed. I watched the Prince outtakes. So the one where like Charlie Murphy keeps having to laugh and like his laugh never like wanes. It never faints. It's strong each time. And he does like six different takes. Hilarious. Charlie Murphy's underrated.
Yeah.
Underrated.
But no, so this Kitchen Island album, I definitely, you know, I've only heard it twice, but I definitely sort of need to like bring this in occasionally when I'm doing stuff over the summer.
Yep.
I feel like this could work on a road trip even. Just kind of put it in, just kind of, yeah.
Totally could. Yeah, totally could.
Right, because, so, you know, because just the feel of it, like, no disrespect to whoever's doing vocals on a particular track, but, like, you don't have to pay attention to the vocals. That's not what this is about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
So, Clock Radio Speakers approved.
Yep, absolutely. Check it out, 99.9%. You can get it everywhere. Nice record.
Yeah, Light Spots, man.
Light Spots is stupid, man.
Yeah.
Light Spots is still. I need to hear that. Like, man, that Roots Picnic lineup looks pretty good.
I didn't even see you playing that.
I'm going to be bogged down with children on my legs, so I
can't
go.
When is Roots Picnic? Oh, it's
July 4th.
July 4th.
It's a nice little lineup. Like, I would check that out. I've been wanting to go to like a festival. I want to do a Made in America, a Roots Picnic. I'm going to do something.
Oh, right. K-Tronada, Usher with the Roots. That's interesting.
Yeah.
My man Blood Orange. Metro's doing a set. DMX. Migos.
I would go see Migos live. I'm cool with that.
Anderson .Paak. He might. I feel like he probably does a decent show.
I heard his show was solid. People who saw him at, I believe, South by Southwest said his show was really dope.
I don't know. This lineup's it's cool. I'm actually pretty mad that I'm not going back to Eau Claire.
Was that the one you did in Utah?
No, that's in Wisconsin.
Okay.
The lineup, so Bon Iver, Beach House, Mavis Staples, Francis and the Lights, Erykah Badu, James Blake, who else is playing? Vince Staples, a bunch of like random indie artists and stuff like that. But
yo, man, I heard that James Blake album.
I haven't, you know what? That's been on my list. I just haven't done it yet.
It's terrible.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Maybe I just don't get it. Maybe terrible? I don't get it. Yeah, like maybe I don't get it. Terrible. It was really bad and weird. It sounds like music made by a man who was raised by wolves. It's not good at all.
Oh no.
It's a record with him and Bon Iver, and they're just like, they're doing that like back and forth.
Oh, see, that could be dope. I like when Bon Iver does that.
Nah, because what it did was, I'm gonna keep it real, like what it did was is it made me go back to like Francis stuff.
Oh, right.
So it's like, oh, this is what it sounds like when it's done well. You know what I'm saying? It made me also go to Mayor Hawthorne. So it's like weird, awkward white guy music that's
Mayor Hawthorne dope. Mayor Hawthorne's not.
He makes some awkward. There's some awkwardness to Mayor, but it's part of his thing.
We should talk about Mayor.
Okay, let's talk about Mayor.
Because I don't think we officially really talked about his most recent album.
No, we did talk about Where Does This Door Go?
Yeah, which I really liked a lot.
That album was, I listened to it again today. That album was really, 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 really good.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Pharrell on it.
Yep.
Kendrick Lamar on Crime is totally underrated.
Yep.
But no, like records like Reach Out Richard and
yep.
Crime and
Wine Glass Woman.
Wine Glass Woman is totally, like The Stars Are Ours is pretty much an NERD track.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, that's, I like that one a lot. His most recent one, Man About Town. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's,
go ahead.
So like for a while he was sort of, you know, he would like, so the first album sounded like 50s and 60s, like soul and doo-wop, Motown a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The second album brought in a little bit more 70s influence. The third album, which is Where Did This Door Go? He sort of did, I would say, almost like a little bit of Hall & Oates style influence, like sort of like a little bit of an 80s. Then he did the Tuxedo with Jake One, which is just like 80s like R&B pop dance stuff, which is not my favorite era of R&B. So I'm like, eh. And then on this album, he kind of tries to do a little bit of everything.
Yep.
So, you know, he's got some songs which are like, you know, kind of like soulful, but then he's got some that are like a little bit more like 80s, like R&B. And then he's got some, you know, he's kind of all over the place on this. How do you feel about it?
I don't like Motown Mayor.
Oh, see, that's the best mayor.
Yeah. That I know that that's the mayor that you got put onto and you really like. I like Yacht Rock Hall & Oates Mayor.
Right. So yeah, that's where Does This Door Go Mayor. Right.
Yeah.
So there are some records on here like that, yeah.
Yep. It's like the second half of the album. What was the record in particular? It's not a I'm pulling it up. It's not a Yacht Rock record, but it's towards the end of the album. Hold on. Give me 1 second.
The single is Love Like That.
Oops, that ain't it. Man About Town. Get You Back is really, really dope. Get You Back was dope. And I liked, I believe, The Valley.
Oh, see, I didn't like The Valley that much.
Or Fancy Clothes. One of those two I really, really liked. Those are the two records that stood out. Everything else was like, this is cool.
I'm going to see him live in like a month.
Hey, let me see if he's going to be in Columbus.
We're doing the whole thing. We're doing VIP for that.
Okay.
I mean, dope. I've seen him live 4 times.
Oh, God. Her favorite song. Oh,
I know.
Oh, God. I want to rap over that beat, but you know.
His live show is incredible. His band is really good. And he's still and you know, he's not a huge artist, obviously, so he's playing like that good medium sized spot where it's general admission, but it's not crazy.
Yeah.
So he puts on a good show. So we're heading down to New York, I think end of June.
Okay. Well, I see why you did the VIP's not a bad price.
And you actually get a decent amount.
Come to Columbus. He's coming to Michigan. I'll be in Michigan on this day.
That's his hometown. So, you know, he's from Michigan. So
yeah, July 1st, I'll be in town. Cause my father lives, outside of Detroit and, we usually do something for the 4th. So I'll be there. The wheels are turning, but I don't know if I want to do that for this album.
I mean, he's going to do, I mean, he'll do a lot of stuff.
But I want him to, I want him to, you know what I'm saying? I want to do, I should have just caught him during the run of the last album. That was my problem. He didn't come here. So that's my L. But yeah, so overall this album is what?
It's cool.
It's cool.
It's cool.
It just made me go back and listen to Where Does This Door Go?
Yeah, he's got I love Strange Arrangement. Strange Arrangement's incredible to me. How Do You Do Gurami? Where Does This Door Go is really good. And the Tuxedo record, you know, it's him and Jake One. It's a little different.
Yeah, it sounds like Tuxedo sounds like records I want to like.
Right, but they're just like I think we even talked about it. It's like Uncanny Valley. It's like not quite there, but so like you just notice the ways that it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. All right. What's next?
We could talk about your man ASAP Ferg, or we could talk about this Havoc Alchemist.
So I only got through like the first maybe 5 or 6 records on the Ferg. I just forgot to finish it. So we can do that and then end with the Havoc Alchemist.
I appreciate the honesty. The Ferg album is weird.
Yeah. So when I heard the Missy record, like that completely threw me off, but it looked like it was like, yo, Rocky put me in some places that I want to be. So let me try to get there.
Right. And I feel like this is another record that I hear a lot of people really like you know, people are like, oh yeah, that ASAP Ferg record. You know what I mean?
What? Oh, the album itself?
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard the opposite. I haven't heard any good
feedback. Oh, really? I've heard sort of like that, you know, not quite Lil Yachty, but it's, you know, people are like, oh, the one, you know, you really should check that out. You know, kind of like, it's kind of like a secret, but it's like, nah. It's kind of weird because it starts off in a certain direction and then it swerves totally. And it goes like, and then you've got like trap records. But like the first, like Rebirth is def the like just the beginning opening track. And like his, the group of producers he's working with, he's just all over the place. Like as an example.
Who else is on there?
Like the title track, the opening track is DJ Khalil and Clamps Casino.
Hmm.
But then he goes to Skrillex. And then that Strive record is produced by Mustard.
Wait. The Missy record?
Yeah.
It's produced by Mustard?
Mustard and this dude named Philly.
Which means Philly did it. That record just sounds like New York Fashion Week. It does. And I'm cool with New York Fashion Week because I like awkward girls who dress weird and dope. So I'm cool with that, but like not from ASAP Ferg.
Yeah, I feel like Strive could work if it wasn't Ferg.
Absolutely.
Like he needed to write that for somebody and give it to somebody else.
Yep.
And then
yep.
that record totally works.
Yep. I agree.
And yet I like Psycho.
I don't even remember which one that was.
It's when the album starts to take a turn, it's Khalil and Clamps Casino, which makes sense because I like both those producers.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, the Schoolboy record is cool, but I actually like the Future record of all things.
Yo, New Level is hard.
Yeah.
That record is hard. I was a little late to that party. I stumbled on that record on accident. That record is dope.
I actually really like that Ross record too, Swipe Life.
See, I didn't hear there's a Ross record that I didn't hear.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It's not even the beat is fine, but like Ross actually kind of brings it, and because it's a trap record, but for whatever reason, Ross like got extra, like, you know, he went a little light on the Wingstop, maybe. I don't know what the deal is, but like he really kind of brought it.
Listen, man, I think Ross has been on a mission lately, like. From Black Dollar to what was
Black Market?
I was about to call it Black Planet.
Yo, how have you not made a relationship EP called Black Planet?
Talk me off the air. Ross has been like on a tear this last year or so to me, but I'm like a big Ross fan, so. I'm not surprised because I feel like even the did you listen to the Royce album?
No.
Okay. So there's a record on Royce's album with Pusha and Ross.
Really?
Excuse me. And Ross, it sounds like a Ross beat.
Okay.
Both Pusha and Ross phone it in, but a phone in Pusha and Ross is still like really dope. It still works. Like you've heard them come better, but like their cruise control lyrically is better than 80% of most rappers you know. Yeah, I can't believe you haven't heard that yet. That record is dope. And that album isn't bad. The album has some joints on it. It's not bad at all. It gets a little, as all Royce albums, the subject matter gets a little repetitive. But like overall, the beats are dope. Royce is rapping. Like I like sober Royce more than drunk Royce. It's not bad. Not bad at all. But Layers, Layers is dope.
There are a couple other records that work on here, specifically Beautiful People, which has Chuck D on it, actually, but is produced by, again, DJ Khalil and Clamps Casino. And I'm like, yeah, I like that one a lot. The sequencing to this tape is really kind of weird. And the way that it opens, I think, throws people off completely. Like, it's clear that ASAP wants to do a lot of different types of records. Like, he's got a record on here produced by Stargate and written by Stargate, which is like... They did like a bunch of Rihanna's pop records and they did stuff for Katy Perry. Like he's got a Stargate record on here followed up by Big Sean on a No ID beat. Like it's all over the place.
Yeah. And so is it one of those things where like Ferg, I think Ferg and just ASAP period, because Rocky kind of does this too, but I think he's a little more subdued with it. They're able to exist in different markets because of the whole ASAP brand. So it ventures into fashion, it ventures into lifestyle stuff. So it's like nothing to see Rocky and Ferg like in Europe or, you know, like just in a place where most hip hop isn't allowed. Like they're the tokens, for lack of a better term. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I think that's dope. So then you sort of hear stuff. You're in environments where it's like, yo, this is dope. Or, you got all these people who want to work with you. I mean, God, if Stargate came up to me and was like, yo, Armand, I want to do a record with you, I'd be like, okay. And if I hear a little oomps, oomps in the studio, like, well, let's just try this out and see what happens. You know what I'm saying? So maybe it's one of those things where because Ferg ends up in a lot of different places and he has his own space, like he's not Rocky's lackey, like
right.
he really has records. Like, does it put him in a place to where he wants to be versus where he is? And where he is isn't so bad. Where he is Big Sean and No ID Beat. And then where he wants to be and where he's kind of experiences the Stargate records, and he wants to do both. Like, can that function in 2016? Like, can you be all over the place again?
I think my problem is more like, it's not about that he's all over the place. It's that the album is all over the place. Like, in this era, the album is not the only way to get your music out. You know what I mean? So, like, the notion of this, like, so he wanted this album to contain these tracks. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think in an alternate world, I think ASAP would be better off with, like, smaller, like, even one-offs or, like, smaller, more focused projects. He could go in any, whatever direction he wanted.
I agree. Isn't this, and again, I didn't get through, isn't this like 18 tracks or something like that?
I mean, there's like at least 3 or 4 skits. So, yeah. I know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So the Lil Yachty record had an interlude. He had an interlude. Like, how dare you? What do I need a break from?
Yeah, it's 18 tracks and it's 47 minutes. Like, that's some 1997 re right there.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Oh, and then apparently the Best Buy Deluxe Edition, we got French Montana and Fab on a record, and then we got Migos on another record. He's all over the place. We're going to hear that in August.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, no, I think it's kind of weird. Like, to me, this is typically, like, you go with the weird album once you've made it. And, like, yeah. I don't know if ASAP has given us that I've made it album yet in a weird way.
Mm.
And so, to me, that was just a strong, I mean, if anything, I actually know more about, like, what ASAP Ferg wants to do now from listening to this, which I guess is a good thing. But, like, I hear this and I'm like, oh, ASAP Ferg is trying to be a very different artist than I think ASAP Ferg is. I almost think, in a sense, I think the fact that he's ASAP Ferg, I think that hurts him in a weird way.
So you're saying Rocky's a different artist from Ferg?
I know. I mean, like, when, like, it's not that they all have to kind of sound like Rocky, but it kind of, you feel like, oh, it's ASAP Rocky. Oh, it's ASAP Ferg. So there's going to be, Ferg is totally different.
He is.
And he wants to be completely different.
Yeah.
So for me anyway, like, my expectations going into this was, I was not expecting this because his last album, I don't remember liking that much at all. Oh, wait, yeah. There was the mixtape Ferg Forever, which I don't think I really listened to, but like that album, Trap Lord.
Yeah.
I didn't really like that. The Shabba record was all right. I don't really love Lord. Like, that I felt had a little bit more, like, yeah. People really liked Work. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, Work was low-key a hit.
Yeah.
Not low-key, it was a hit.
Yeah.
Didn't he have another record? Oh, Shabba Ranks.
Yeah, Shabba. The Shabba record, I didn't mind.
Like, he's got records. Work was bigger than Shabba.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got records. Like, he has the ability to make these records that don't sound like Rocky. They don't sound disingenuine, but they still have the potential to cross over.
Right. I just don't know. Like, you know, it's funny, that Missy record, I just don't know if he can do, I don't know if he can pull that record off.
He can't. No, he can't.
Right.
He can't. That's not really for him.
Mm.
But like you said, he should have wrote it for somebody else. But he wanted to perform that record. What he wanted to perform that at All-Star Weekend or something like that. It's not going to work. Yeah, the oomps oomps doesn't work for Rocky or for Ferg. So, we done with Ferg?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So we want to end with this. I really didn't want to end with this Havoc and Alchemist, but that's just kind of how the conversation flowed. That's cool. What's the name of this? You don't remember?
I don't actually. Silent Partner.
Silent Partner?
Yeah.
Listen.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. Alchemist is a freaking genius. Like,
not for some this. Of these.
What? You're crazy. You're crazy. Some of those beats are stupid. Don't play with me.
There are a actually, no, I most of this feels like B-grade Alchemist to me.
Let's first say that B-grade Alchemist is still incredible, one. And two, I think one thing about producers, this is the main thing that stood out for this project. So a lot of rappers don't know how to pick beats for them. So there's a difference between a dope beat and a dope beat for you. So the beat may be dope, but it may just not be tailored to your style. This is why Black Rob's Woe went through 30 people before Black Rob got it. And this is why Niggas in Paris, which you used to refer to as Ball So Hard, which was hilarious.
I mean, what am I supposed to call
it? Yeah, I don't know. You're supposed to. But I just remember, like, that was when we were talking about Watch the Throne the same way we were talking about Kanye. Right. That's why I thought it was funny, not because you had to call it something else. That beat passed through a bunch of different people. I don't want to hear Pusha T on that beat. You know, Jay and Kanye were just fine for that. So I think what Havoc did, Havoc has never been like an MC that people look for. He just kind of raps because it seems like he just needs to fill in space. You know, Prodigy was always the standout of Mobb Deep. But I think he picked beats that suited his style very well. And it made Havoc tolerable for some of this album. Where normally I would never listen to a Havoc solo album.
Yeah, I don't know if a whole album of 2016 Havoc is what I want to hear.
No, it's not. There's no if.
Yeah, I mean, so wait, what are the, like, okay, so I like Seize Power.
Okay.
That might be my favorite beat on here.
The Method Man joint?
You know, the beat is cool. I really wanted those drums to come in a little harder. You know what? That is one complaint I have about the Alchemist over the past, like, the sort of later stages of Alchemist's beat making style. He tries to get all cute with the drums. Like, sometimes the drums don't even drop. And it's like, listen.
Yeah, but you're a drum guy.
What's killer is, like, he has incredibly crispy drums. Like, it's like, come on. We know what it can be. I think this happens sometimes where, like, producers can, I don't say get, you get bored with your own style.
Yeah.
And to Alchemist's credit, he's not just churning out like 2004 sounding Alchemist beats, even though that's what I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's trying to do something different. Like, and in fact, actually a weird thing is I feel like the tempo on some of these records isn't fast enough. Like that Cormega record, that tempo needed to be faster because those guys were just, maybe they just were going to struggle anyway.
Actually, you know what? That might be the first Cormega verse that I've heard where he didn't punch in.
That's a sign that it's not fast enough. If Cormega's not punching in, I don't want to hear it.
You know what, though? It was good to hear Cormega.
He almost didn't sound like himself.
He just sounded older, that's all. This is one of the reasons why I don't drink liquor.
Havoc sounds the same.
I think he sounds older, too.
I almost didn't recognize Cormega.
Nah, I there was a summer of 2001 was the Cormega stannery was at an all-time high for me. So then I think that was when the realness leaked.
Yeah.
Killer's Theme.
Killer's Theme. Remember how excited everybody was over Get Out My Way?
I didn't like Get Out My Way.
I just don't think that's it. You know, we've never talked about this Cormega album on the show, I don't think.
Yeah, we haven't. Oh my goodness. And that used to, like, rule so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Yeah, it was too loud.
That's the oldest thing you've said today. After all the Yachty stuff, you come through with, it's too loud.
It was, but it was like, dun, 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 dun. And that, like, that looped for 4 minutes. No. Yeah.
It's like,
no. Hold on, let me pull it.
It's like, thanks, Sean Money. Like, I get it. You didn't want to use the sample, but no.
Nah.
But no, the fact that Fallen Soldiers remix with the drink pouring sample, that's ridiculous. And then Killer's Theme 2 at the end. Woo!
Yeah, Killer's Theme 2. I used to like They Force My Hand.
Yeah.
Thun and Kitco was cool. American Beauty was cool. I don't remember a lot of these. I got to go back and listen to this. Oh, I forgot. Okay, they did release The Testament, didn't they?
Oh,
Angel
man.
Dust. Oh, God.
Listen, Dead Man Walking.
Dead Man Walking.
That Def Jam sampler.
Of course. Was that the DMX Survival of the Illest, right?
Yeah.
I wish I could find that. I think I have to get that. Honestly,
I don't even know. I've got my old CD binder somewhere. I might have that.
Because I had, the only one I didn't have, I didn't buy Onyx Shut 'Em Down, but that was because the freaking...
It was the entire Survival of the Fittest mix, pretty much. Like,
the
it was
whole thing.
That whole CD, yeah.
Yep, and there was one record on that Onyx on the sampler that didn't make it onto the retail. That was crazy.
When
I think it was called See You in Hell or something like
when
that.
When I hear Shut 'Em Down, I still am waiting for, like, the scratches and the bringing it back from the survival of the fittest, because they got a DJ who's cutting it up, and to me that's shut them down.
Yeah,
that's how much absolutely. I listened to that.
Yep. So I don't know on a complete. Speaking of East Coast hip hop, I just want to say this on the show. I had a conversation with my boy about this earlier, and I was thinking about it yesterday. So I listened to the Lox episode of the Rap Radar podcast, and it was a really, really good episode. It made me go back and revisit that State Property D-Block beef. I don't know if that beef is as close as we like to think it was. I think the Lox, like, destroyed State Property. Like, it wasn't close.
I mean, so what time frame was that again?
2002. 2002.
Yeah, people were standing pretty hard for State Property.
They were.
Because that first State Property album was...
It had a couple joints. It had Rock the Mic. It had It's Not Right, Got Nowhere.
Oh, you forgot the most important song on there.
Which one?
No Glory.
No Glory.
Ooh.
There was another record. There was another record, though. Whatever. Okay, so it was like 13 tracks. There's like five that were dope. That first State Property album is all right.
Yeah, Got Nowhere, yeah.
But the good songs are really, really good. State Property 2 was a lot better. But, I mean, I want a battle where, like, every single week somebody's putting out a diss record, even if the other person doesn't respond. Sort of what Drake did, but, like, to a much greater degree. I mean, like, there's literally, like, the funny part is when you listen to them all in a row, because they're all on YouTube, like, Styles says on, like, four records, I'm not going back and forth with you. This is the last time I'm putting out a diss record. And then he disses them again. Like, just ruthless and reckless. Like, it wasn't close. I just wanted to say that on my podcast. That's all. So, is there anything else we need to talk about?
So you really like the Havoc and Alchemist album?
I don't know about really like it.
Okay.
You know, I'm always cool with new Alchemist beats. Like, I'm not going to listen to Havoc rap. And the beats were dope. It just made me go and listen to that Migos record that they did with Alchemist. Record is nuts.
I think people forget how dope Alchemist really used to be. Like, not to be that guy, but, like, that's the problem. Is, like, you listen to this and it's like, all right, these are cool, but, like, really, like, just go listen to old Alchemist stuff. Like, it's unbelievable.
Now, which era Alchemist are we talking? Are we talking, like, 02?
Yeah,
or
like early
Alchemist?
Like early 2000s Alchemist, I would say.
What's the record? Dun 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 dun. Yeah, what beat is that?
I can't even think of it. I could hum it for you, but I can't even think of it. Right.
I remember there was an Alchemist beat tape that had, I think it had like eight records on it.
I mean, what he was doing with like First Infantry and the, like the Insomnia tapes or whatever. And
Insomnia. Ooh.
Listen.
Because that had, what was that Mobb Deep record?
Oh, there was a handful. Oh, Hold up. We're going to look this up.
There's a whole bunch. It was one, and you looped it for me, and I never rapped over it. Hold on.
Okay. Carved in Stone.
Carved in Stone. Oh boy, that record was so hard. Oh,
Havoc the Illest?
The Illest was crazy.
Even Sheik's Turn It Up.
I don't remember Sheik's Turn It Up. I don't remember that. Sheik had a run.
Mobb Deep when it comes to beef, yeah. Oh, I remember I Am Three.
Vaguely. Who was that? Is that dun dun dun? Is that Cormega?
No, I Am Three. That's a group.
Oh no,
Infamous Mobb, yeah.
It's Infamous Mobb, yeah, no,
because that special edition album,
yeah, I mean it was good because it had some dope Alchemist beats on there,
it
but
did.
Like, I just want a really good producer to work with a really good rapper. Is that too much to ask?
You know what,
like Dilla was notorious for keeping bad rappers around him. I don't want to hear any Slum Village excuses. I hear a lot of excuses for those Slum Village rhymes, like no.
They were cutting they were room bad. Floor
like
Cutting Room
get...
Floor had P Broke the Switch.
Okay.
Nashawn in Jail.
Okay.
Freeway Still in Effect.
Still in Effect.
M.O.P. Cool G Street Team Remix.
Mm.
Mobb Deep Backwards, which everybody flipped out over.
Yep.
But P Broke the Switch, that's mine. Mm.
Now, one of the more underrated albums in recent hip-hop history is Return of the Mac.
Mm. That's interesting.
That album is really, really good. I think that's Prodigy's like last. So
yeah.
So if you are a wrestling fan and you remember Buried Alive matches, anytime the Undertaker got buried alive, he would always stick his hand through the dirt to symbolize that he was still alive, even though he was under mounds of dirt. That was what Return of the Mac was for Prodigy. Because it took Prodigy a while to get his footing back after that Jay-Z battle. Like, a lot of things just didn't work out. Even though America's Nightmare was dope, Mobb Deep just kind of faltered. I still haven't heard Blood Money all the way through.
Oh, really? The most amazing thing about Prodigy's career, if you think about it, is he puts out HNIC in November of 2000. Do you know the next album he put out after that was?
No, what was that?
It was Return of the Mac.
Wow.
He didn't put out another solo album until Return of the Mac.
And HNIC was...
HNIC is... I mean, we talk about it in the Mobb Deep Retro. There are incredible records on there. There are some that you're like, okay, I don't know. Yep. I still don't know if I'll ever like YBE.
Nah, you bugging. First off, BG washes Prodigy on there.
And any record where that happens, I'm not acknowledging. But that Bink beat on Rock That. I mean, of course, Keep It Thorough,
Can't Complain is incredible.
Three
is incredible.
Veterans Memorial,
Trials of Love.
I used to like Diamond.
Yeah. I even like You Can Never Feel My Pain. I love that Angela Beaufield sample that most of you know from Rick Ross, John Legend, Magnificent. Yeah, yeah. HNIC has some joints, man. Has some serious, serious joints. So now I'm gonna go back and listen to these Cormega albums, though. That's on my
now. I just want to go back and listen to Old Alchemist. So anyway, so the Havoc and Alchemist, it was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
All right. I'll be honest, I don't know if I'm really going to go listen to it anymore, but it was all right.
Yeah, like it was a good listen. Like, oh, but now am I going to like play it again? Probably not.
Right.
Probably not. But yeah, if we haven't, I don't know. Didn't you like that Migos and Mac Miller record that they did with The Alchemist?
Wouldn't be surprised. I don't mind Migos.
Yeah. I don't mind Migos either.
The record they did on, what did they do it on? Travis Scott's album.
I don't remember that. You know I don't remember that.
Yeah. You're like, who?
Anymore. Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah. I think is that everything? Is that it?
I think that's it.
Okay. We're gonna forget something.
Probably. So, as always, let us know what y'all think about this week's episode. Not nearly as long as last week's, but that's okay. We can't do multi-hour extravaganzas every week. Let us know what you think. Use the hashtag ClockRadioSpeakers or hit us up at CRS Podcast, all one word. Armand, you got anything else? You got anything you need to plug?
No.
Hey, wait, real quick. You did a little live show, right? What'd you do?
Yeah, I did. Well, I had two shows. I had a show at the Steadfast Festival last Saturday, two Saturdays ago. And then I did a spoken word feature on Friday.
How come you're not plugging the stuff on the show, man?
Because I don't think about it. And again, that's one of those things where like I don't know like the reach in Columbus. I know people in Columbus who listen to the show, but they usually just talk to me about the show. Mm. So, you know, I usually send out texts and stuff like that with flyers and stuff like, hey, come check me out. But it's not on purpose. I literally don't think about it while I'm doing this. I'm trying to put all my hats together. I have a lot of different hats in a lot of different places. I'm trying to put them all together.
And speaking of that, we'll say it one last time. If you are within a reasonable driving distance of Columbus and you think you'd be hypothetically interested in going to some sort of live Clock Radio Speakers thing at the end of August, let us know because we're thinking about it.
And listen, I don't mean interested. Like, you got to show up because if we're going to spend money and do stuff to like, you know, rent out a venue and promote and do all this stuff, then, and like, y'all just are hypothetically going to come and you don't show up. Like, the next episode will be nothing but slander to the audience. And I'll do it. Doc is nice to y'all. Like, my clapback game is nice. I'll do it because my time is precious and I don't want to do it if y'all are thinking about it. Like, if you really want to do it, we'll make it happen. We'll do whatever episode. We'll do like a viewer's choice. We'll make it all fan friendly and all that good stuff, man. I think it would be dope, but you know, if y'all ain't trying to do it, then not.
So let us know.
Stay home. I'll take Doc to all the good food places because that's what I've been thinking about. That's what most of this trip is going to consist of. It's just me taking you to all the good food spots in Columbus. So yeah, let us know at CRS Podcast, at Armand Wake Up, at Doc_Beats, S not a Z. Yeah, Doc_Beats, S not a Z. Not Doc Beats, all one word, like Doc_Beats with an S.
The best part about that is no, I mean, what I say is effective because I don't think anybody's ever tried to at @doc_beats with a Z.
Hold on. Does that person exist? I'm about to look him up right now.
I wonder if it's like Bizarro World Doc. Is that what's going on?
Right. It's the Lester and Eliza.
No, doesn't exist. Oh, man.
No, but there is a Doc Beats with a Z and no underscore.
Oh, no. Who is this character?
And then there's Doc Beats Music.
Oh, God.
And then there's Beats Doc. And there is a guy, and he has underscore Z, not an S, as his name. And you said, oh, no. Oh, that was good.
I got a lot of children out there. That's what's going on.
Oh, bang, bang. Send them shots out, Doc. Let them know. That's what I'm talking about, man. I'm done. We get in the show right there.